Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Heavenly Father, I just come praying, dear God, to you, and just thank you, dear God, for this day, for this opportunity. Dear God, I pray, Father, dear God, that as we go over this sermon, dear God, that you place in my heart, that you would use it to impact our lives. Dear God, that our minds would be on praise, oh God, that we would keep our minds stayed on you, as your word says, and then you will keep us in perfect peace. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. Hallelujah. If you guys hear a ringing, that is not your ears. That's a building next door. So just wanted to let you guys know that. Let's go ahead and talk about your mindset on praise. I was just praying. And how many of you have ever been in a situation where you're trying to hear from God? You guys ever been there? Say, God, I want to hear from you. But sometimes instead of going to God in praise, you just go to God with your complaints, right? You're like, God, I got this, I got that. Come on, God, I need you to, Lord, what your whole prayer is a complaint, right? And let me just give you a warning that I've learned myself. God will not answer your complaints, right? If you are so bogged down with your issues in life, you're not coming to God correctly when you come to him with complaints. The Bible says, we know that the Bible says you must enter in with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. If you do not move in that way, I learned in my life that you're not going to hear from God until you get your mind set on praise. So when I was praying, I was like, God, what, you know, there's some different things that are going on in my life. And I was like, man, God, I just want to hear you. I just want to hear you. And what he said was, open your mouth and praise. See, I'm going to tell you, there's a difference between a mind of praise, but when you open your mouth, that's when your praise is in action. Amen? And I've been praying. There's nothing wrong with praying in your mind, but when you begin to open your mouth, it begins to move. Why do I say that? Because God created the world, not with just a thought, but with his word. Amen? So I just want to encourage you guys through this message to praise God, to keep your mind set on praising him, because the thing about the enemy and the thing that he wants to do most is to hinder your praise and your worship, right? So all these things that come in our life are just to try to stop the praise. Why? Because we know that the devil Lucifer was an angelic being, right? We know that he was in heaven. He was doing what? Praising and worshiping God. Then he said, I think I'm the man. I think I should get the praise. And within a second, Jesus said, behold, I saw Satan fall like a flash of lightning. Right? So what the devil's focus was to get people to praise him. But now his focus is, even for the church people, he wants them to praise him, but he just wants to stop your praise. So we can't let him do that. Amen. So when you are coming to God, do not go with complaints, but go with praise. I had a brother. We had one of the brothers at my house. He came to refix something. The wood, our wood had started acting funny. So he came. His name is Brother Khalil. And I was telling my wife, I was like, man, every time he's around, he's singing a praise and worship song. Like he doesn't even know it. You know, but I was like, man, you see how praise is constantly coming from his mouth? You know, when you are in that kind of mindset where, God, I just want to praise you, God, let me just sing a song to you, God, because you're good. It keeps your heart right. It keeps your mind right, right? It's very important to do that. I'm going to just give a quick example before we go to the first scripture, which is Psalms chapter 150. There's plenty of times where I might almost get in an accident because of somebody else, or sometimes it might be myself, right? We all make mistakes. Most of the time it's not my mistakes, but we all make mistakes. And once I just missed the cars, the very first thing I try to remind myself to do is say, thank you, God. Praise God. Instead of, what are you doing? Why can't you drive right? You know what I'm saying? Those are complaints. But as I pray every time I get in the car, my prayer is that God would protect me before as we go. Let your angels be around us. So every time that happens, I have to remember that's what I prayed for. God kept and protected me. I shared a story before. There was a time where I was driving down the street and a car was coming, and I could see it, but I couldn't see it with my natural eye. Every time I go back there, I try to figure out how did this happen. I could see the car not being able to stop. And the corner is kind of like this to the door. You see how the door is? I can't see what's on the other side of the door. But I saw the car not being able to stop before it. And it was like in slow motion, so I was able to stop. And I was like, wow. Every time I go by there, I say, thank you, God, because you're the only one that allowed me to see that. And the lady ended up getting hitting somebody else. And, you know, we got out to make sure they were okay and everything like that. But I just thank God that he answers our prayers. And let me tell you this, even when you feel like your prayers are not being answered, praise is a way to get your minds off of your problem. Let's go to Psalms chapter 150. You could turn this mic down just a little bit. It's kind of hot up here. That's why I'm kind of quiet right now. Psalms chapter 150. This is a praise chapter. Matter of fact, somebody that I really look to when I was getting ready for this sermon is David. David always seemed to have a heart of praise. And I know some praise and worship sometimes are different, but I think praise is a result of worship. Praise and worship coincide. That's why we have praise and worship. But worship is a lifestyle. Praise is thanking God for what he's doing. So if you don't have a lifestyle of worship, you won't have a lifestyle of praise. Right? So when you think about praise, it is something that you must get accustomed to doing. Now check this out. The first time somebody goes to a football or a basketball game, right? If I brought my son to a football game right now, he probably won't praise that much. Or he won't, let me rephrase it. He probably won't scream and shout that much. Okay? Because he doesn't understand it. But when he sees everybody else doing the same thing, he's going to start screaming. Why? Because he sees everybody else doing it, and now he believes that's what he's supposed to do. If you watch the games on TV, you see the little kids, and they just, yeah, what's the score? We don't know, but we're screaming, right? Because they were trained in that, right? They watch other people, and they begin to be trained in knowing what praise is. Or shouting and screaming. We have to do the same thing when it comes to God. I ask my daughter, every now and then I say, what's the most important thing to daddy? What is the most important thing in my life? And I don't give them no hints. I don't want to hear. I just want to hear what comes out of their mouth. And Marquise, when I asked him, he said the Bible. I said, praise God. Amen. This last week I asked Markella, she said, God. And I'm like, yes, they're getting it. Why am I asking them that? So that they know who I am, and I'm training them. I'm still training them when it comes to praise and worship. Obviously, there's not a lot of people sometimes here, so they're doing their own thing. But as they see us worshiping and praising God, they're going to get it, and they're going to begin to do the same thing because we're training them in worship and praise. Amen? Right now, I have my children, and I know as a father, I have them read the Bible, Markayla is actually, she's the only one that's reading right now, the Bible. So I tell her, read 3 stories in the Bible a day, right? Now, they have a kid's Bible, so she's not reading Genesis and Revelations. Not yet. But the stories, they have pictures and animation, and they make noise and stuff like that. So they enjoy doing it. But why do I do that? So they get in the habit. Just like I have to help them get in that habit, I have to help them understand the praise. So the last time I got in an accident, I explained to them that we should be grateful to God because God saved us, because we prayed that. And they were like, oh, okay. You know, so we're teaching them how to praise. But that's the power of when you come together with the body of Christ. When you see somebody else praising God, it should be like, man, I need to praise a little bit too. Amen. When somebody shares their testimony, you're like, okay, yes. Brother Philip was sharing his testimony, and we get excited because God did something in his life where he knew without a shadow of a doubt it was only God. And guess what? We keep that praise. We must store up praise to give to God. Amen. And when I say store up, I don't mean just hold it, but we should always have praise in us. Let's go to Psalms chapter 150. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him for his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to the excellent greatness, or his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then it says again, praise the Lord. Now, why do I read this? And it's a quick chapter, but this is to instruct us that we should praise God always, right? Wherever we are going, there should be a praise in our hearts that we give to God. But not only wherever we're going, with whatever we have, we must praise God. Amen? We just got done doing music at the Desna Cup, and it's a big old, it's kind of like a fair. That's what I call it. It's a fair. They have a humongous stage. It's probably the biggest stage I've ever done any music on. And, you know, we get up there, we got to do I'm in Love with Jesus. And they love it. The Russians, they like, hey, sing that song, I'm in Love with Jesus. So we sing the song, you know, and they, hey, you did a great job. And I'm like, praise God. That's the first thing that comes out of my mouth. Why do I do that? I do that on purpose. One, to stay humble. Amen. Because it's easy when everybody's jumping up and down to be like, yes, I'm the man. But no, I don't want pride to creep in. So the very first thing I say, I usually say something off of what they say. If they were like, man, you were on fire. No, I say, no, God is the fire. I'm just trying to be with God. You know, so whatever they say, I point the praise back to God so that they hear me praising God. Amen. I run into a lot of people that they keep getting people to praise them, and they don't give the praise back to God. And guess what? That's the Bible says this. If an angel comes and tells you that he wants the worship, it's not of God. There was a scripture that said something where the angel was visiting somebody, and he said, I'm just a messenger. I'm not the one. I'm not the one to be praised. Only God is to be praised. So we must do the same thing. But with whatever we have, I don't care what it is, as long as it's glorifying to God and scripturally sound. Let me just say that, because some people will be like, I'm praising God doing this, and it's nothing to do with God. You're not praising God. But we must praise him with what he's given us. So if you have talents, praise God with them. Don't use them to gain notoriety for yourself. Don't use them to bring glory or to create your name. I said a rap yesterday. I said, if you're really concerned about your rise to fame, just realize and be advised they crucified Jesus' name. They killed him for his name. So if you're just so worried about being the man, guess what? You're going to, first of all, you're never going to make it to the place where you really feel like you're the man. How many know those people that are feeling like they're on top When they retire, they feel like they have no more purpose, no more mission. And now they're trying to find the next thing. I was reading, as I was getting this sermon together, there was something about how to know when some people are ripe for the gospel. And it talked about Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was a man who had everything. He was a tax collector, had a lot. But sometimes when those people that have a lot, they're still looking for something else, right? They're looking for true riches. They have riches in the world, but they're looking for true riches. And a lot of times, you know, some people will be like, you have to go through the camel's eye or the eye of the needle to get into heaven if you're rich. But it says with God, all things are possible. So all of us, we hunger and we are thirsting for something, right? But let it be for righteousness. The Bible says hunger and thirst for righteousness and you will be filled. If you are not hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you're not going to be filled. So what you begin to do is you keep on trying to get these things. You try to do this. That didn't work. You fill in the blank. I did it. It didn't work. Fill in this blank right here. I try to do this. I try to do that. But until you begin to hunger and thirst for God's righteousness, you will not be filled. Amen. So we need to make sure in our hearts that even from that we hunger and thirst for God. Number one, but our hunger and thirst for God should be with praise. Man, God, I love you, God. You're so good. When I think about all the things that you do, it makes me want to shout, as the song says, right? But it should make me get excited. Honestly, yesterday I went to another event, and our show that we were supposed to go to in Federal Way, the Desna Cup Day One, it got canceled because of the rain, storms, and they couldn't set up their sound equipment because it would be bad because they're on the football field and they're the highest over there. So don't want to do that. So we had to cut that out. So I went to another event to just to go support some other artists in the area. I wasn't supposed to do any music. I knew about it because they asked me, but I told them I was going to be at the Desna event. So I get there, and at first, me and Precious are like the only ones there. And I'm like, whoa, it's about to start in 5 minutes, right? So one of the girls that was doing praise and worship, she was like, can you come do something? Like, do you want to sing with us? Do you want to? And I was like, nah, I'm good. I don't know the words. But she kept asking me, hey, come on, come praise with us. Do something. So I said, well, I can play the drums, you know, and I didn't know their songs, but I was like, I can at least play the drums. So I played the drums with them, and we sang a song, Happy Day. It's not old Happy Day like that. It's a newer version. It's like Jesus Culture. They sang the song. And there was another song. What was the other song, Precious? Anyway, I played like three songs with them, and, you know, it was a great experience. But as I was there, they ended up asking me to do some music anyway. Did some music, but the biggest thing was I was able to pray with some of the young men there. It was a Filipino church. So it was a lot of young Filipino. And the great thing about hungering and thirsting for God, one thing I've been asking for God is to hear him quicker, right? To hear him speak to me, to show me whatever I need to see, let me see it. So after I got done, the youth pastor or the leader that was there, he prophesied into my life. And said that God is going to, basically the same thing I've been praying for, that God is going to allow me to hear him quicker, and God was going to allow me to see things in the spiritual realm. So, you know, I recorded it so I can, you know, listen to it and keep that in my spirit and know what God is going to do. He said God's going to open doors for me and the music and everything like that. And I was just like, thank God, this is because that's what I pray for. And this is what I did. I went up to him and I told him, I said, man, thank you for sharing that with me because that's the exact same thing I've been praying for. Amen. So even while I was there, I was saying, if you are a willing vessel to let God use you, and I said this over and over during that night, God will use you. And through you, God will speak. God, whatever God needs to do, he'll get it done. So we were praying and there were some people I actually were calling out and say, hey, come up here. I need to pray for you. And God was showing me things in their lives that God wanted to build up in them. Amen. But the great thing is, because of me seeking God, I was able to see that. All right. And it wasn't me getting the glory, because once again, my thing is to give all the glory to God. And that should be all of our things. Amen. My next point is, silence doesn't usher us into God's presence. Silence does not usher us into God's presence. Now, why do I say this? Because when you get to heaven, guess what? They're going to be singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb," for the millionth time by the time you've already been. But it's going to keep on going for eternity. Right? Why? Because that's the only way you can enter into God's presence is with worship and praise. You're not going to go into God's presence with your mouth shut. Right? So even in your prayer life, you have to learn to enter into his presence with thanksgiving. Start with something that God has done in your life, and you just say, "God, I thank you." For example, we had a situation with this insurance. And listen, if you have to go through insurance stuff, I hope you don't. But anyway, this is my first time. We had a flood in our house on Christmas evening. We got home, it was flood water all over the place. I was like, "Happy birthday to me. Thank you, Jesus." Right? Anyway, we get there. I got to clean it up. So I call the people. They demolition it pretty fast. By New Year's Eve, the demolition was done. But there's holes in my house, right? So we wait until 90 days, which is in their contract. It'll take up to 90 days. Yeah, it took 90 days before they even started the work. Once they got the work done, I was able to get one of the brother I was talking about. He was able to do it. He got it done within 6 weeks. Praise the Lord. But after that, I was dealing with the insurance for a long time. I was leaving voicemails. My dad told me to leave emails. I'm leaving emails. So it's documented, like, "Hey, man, I don't know what the deal is. Call me back." Right? And I was pretty nice. I don't try to get ugly with people that I need to deal with. Never burn bridges. That's a word, right? Because you never know when you got to go back to that bridge. So I'm always polite. And, you know, the first time he was kind of yelling at me on the phone, I'm like, "Listen, sir, this is my first time dealing with insurance. I don't know what I need to do, but I'm going to answer your questions to the best of my ability," and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I leave messages, phone calls, did not hear from them. I get an email from the people, my homeowners dudes. They're like, "Well, if you don't get it, we're going to send you to collections." And, you know, this is not money I just have stored away. So I'm just like, "Okay, God." And at that time, I got a little bit worried. And how many know sometimes when money, they need something on that involves money, sometimes we get a little bit worried. So I text them and said, "Hey, this is what's going on. Can I get an extension?" She was like, "No problem. Yeah, I just wanted to know what was going on." So I was like, "Thank you, God." Why? Because that was favor, right? Because they already gave me the notice. So then I call and still no calls, no answers. I'm like, "Man, I'm still trying to get a hold." Then I call the number and just, I like, "Give me the operator." And sometimes those systems, my goodness, just to get to an operator, press 1, press 6, press 9. "Oh, still can't find the person you want? Press 3. If you like an operator, press 0. I'm like, "Why don't you do that at the beginning? I don't like talking to those things or going through those. Anyway, so I get this lady and she's just like, "Oh man, I don't know what's going on. Let me help you," right? So she gets the case open for me because for some reason it wasn't open, even though that it was supposed to be open. She opens the case, texts the person or emails the person saying, I needed them to call me, blah, blah, blah. And the next day I got a phone call, right? So she calls back and just wants to say, "Hey, I wanted to make sure that, you know, things are going." And I'm like, "Thank God." You know, like, who is this lady? So I'm calling people and they're like, "Can I talk to this lady?" And they're like, "We don't know who she is." You know, and I'm like, "Okay, thank you, God, again. It might have been an angel over there. I don't know, right?" But God allowed it to get going. Because of that, I was able to get everything done within 2 weeks. So I was waiting for 2 months, pretty much. But it got done in 2 weeks because God's favor was on my life. And I sure did thank God for that. Man, because when you pay a bill off, it feels good. Even though you don't want to always send all that over there. You'd be like, God, if I could, is there a stock, Lord, that I need to put this in for a week? You know, don't do that, though. My stocks are, huh. Anyway, so silence does not usher us in to the presence of God, but an open mouth of praise will. Let's go to Psalms chapter 100. Man, I wonder when they're going to turn that bell off. Psalms chapter 100. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Right? Now, how many ever open up in praising God with singing? Sometimes that's an easy way to do it. I love to sing. So for me, when I worship God, especially I used to have a job where I drove the truck. And I drove a truck pretty much in the area. And while I drove the truck, I would always begin my first hour with God. I would pray. Sometimes I would pray with Jamie, and we would actually just pray for each other over the phone. But while I was in there, I spent a lot of time. I didn't turn on any music. I just wanted to worship, right? And God even gave me songs during that time to sing to him. But the great thing is I was able to hear God clear. So when I see this scripture that says, come before his presence with singing, serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with singing, this is a command that the scripture gives us. Come to God and sing a song. Like it's, you know, it's like some people sing songs to people to get them to do certain things, right? They, sometimes we call that serenading, right? If you could sing the right song or even put the right song on, sometimes you got it, right? You set the atmosphere. So our songs to God set the atmosphere for him to be there. Amen. It says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. So when I read that, what is that telling us? That's telling us to keep in mind that we are nothing. One of my favorite songs are songs that deal with, I need you, God, because without you, I can't make it. I'm nobody without God. I will tell you that. I don't care if I know you or not. I realize that without God, my life is messed up. And I didn't do a lot of bad things. I'm not a guy that had a horror story or anything. Didn't do too much. I got whooped enough. By the time I was 12, I didn't get no more whoopings. I was like, I'm not doing that. But I still realize that without God, my life is a mess. Amen. And when I read that scripture, I have to remind it that I am nothing without God. Amen. It says, know that he is God. It is he who made us and we and not we ourselves. And that's also a shot at pride when people think I did this. Right. Everybody, we know the story about King Nebuchadnezzar. And the time where God struck him down was when he said, look at this kingdom that I made. I did this. I built this kingdom. And God made him go crazy in his mind for a certain time. We don't even know how long it was. 7 years. Well, it said at such a time he was able to look up. But we can say 7 years. 7 years is the number of completion. Whatever the years were, it allowed him to realize that without God, he was nothing. And I don't want to be that same guy that puffs up my chest and says, look at what I made. Look what I created. And then God has to say, nah, you didn't make that. Let me show you actually what's going on. Like, just imagine eating grass for 7 years, if we say 7 years. Just think about that. Eating grass. Right? That's not cool. It doesn't look cool. But this is the king of at that moment, he was pretty much the king of the world. Eating grass. Just imagine if the enemies came in and said, what's he doing? Oh, is that how you, that's how Babylon was built? Okay. They might have went home and tried it, right? But what we see is that God, whether you give him the glory or not, the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When I say that, what does that mean? That God is going to get praise out of you whether you want to give it to him or not. Now, the bad thing about it is if you don't give it to him, when you do try to give it to him, it's too late. Right? So when we think about giving God praise, the Bible says when Jesus came in on the donkey and they were praising and saying Hosanna, the Pharisee said, stop them, stop them. And what did he say? He says, if I stop them, the rocks are going to cry out. Right? Why? Because it was predestined, or this was set up, that at this moment in time, they're going to praise me, which was Jesus. Right? But it says it again in the scriptures. If we don't praise, the rocks will cry out. Why? Because God is going to get the praise whether we give it to him or not. Now, I would rather be the one that gives him praise than the one that does not. Because there is great things that happen when you give him praise. So it says, we are his people. Let's start at the beginning of verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And then it says, and into his courts with praise. Okay, so that's what I was talking about. When you're coming in to give God or just be in his presence, enter in with thanksgiving and praise. Amen. It says, be thankful to him and what? Bless his name. What does blessing his name mean? When you hear the word bless, that's another word for that goes along with praise. But what does it mean to bless his name? Somebody help me out. What does bless mean? To give honor, to lift up, to make it good, right? When I bless you, I mean, we always talk about blessings, right? See, we're so caught up on monetary blessings, but that's just one form of blessing, right? Blessing, I want somebody to pull it up if you got your phone or something. Precious, go ahead and pull up the actual definition of blessing. But when we bless, it should be something that makes that stand out amongst everything else, right? When I think of, when we say you're blessed, that thing is going, or that person stands out in my eyes because God is doing something in their life. So when I say bless his name, God's name should stand out to the point where we can see his name higher than anything else, right? When we think of blessings, that's what we normally think. We think, oh, you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed. Praise the Lord. Bless God. Bless God means I make God higher than anything else. Did you find it? Just bless. To extol is holy, to make good, to glorify, which is, this is the definition of bless. Is there another one? Okay, so that's good. To sanctify or make holy, this is also when we talk about blessing the name of God, that's what we do, right? Not because we're making God holy, he already is holy. But in our hearts, this is the thing about God. God is holy, God is just, God is worthy to be praised, but your heart has to be willing to give him praise. Amen? If you're not willing to give it to him, guess what? He's going to get it from something. And this is the crazy thing. God said, look, with Pharaoh and Moses, he said, I'm going to either use you to show my goodness, or you're going to see how good I am, basically, right? Pharaoh chose to be an instrument of unrighteousness. Why? Because he chose not to listen to God. When they told Pharaoh, hey, we're going to go worship God, he's like, what God are you talking about? I run this. I'm the man. And matter of fact, I'm going to show you I'm the man. You're not going nowhere. Oh, yeah, you guys is working over there. Go ahead and make it harder for them so that they realize that I'm the one that's really in control, right? That's what Pharaoh was trying to do. Pharaoh was trying to prove to himself, probably, but also to God that he was in control. But check this out. It said God made Moses a god to Pharaoh. Right? Why? Because everything Moses said happened and Pharaoh had to obey it. Amen? So we're going to be used as instruments of righteousness or instruments of not or non-righteousness. You have to make that decision. What are you going to be used for? Amen? It says, be thankful to him and bless his name. Verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. My next point, look for an opportunity to praise God and not to complain. Okay? When you're going through every day, begin to look for an opportunity to praise God. Okay? Why do I say this? Because you can look at a lot of things and it can cause you to do a whole bunch of things, but look for that opportunity to praise God. When you're in traffic, when cars are piled up and nobody can get by, and then you finally see it was because somebody else was in a horrible accident, you should not be like, man, this is all the car. You should be like, thank God that he kept me safe. Amen? These are simple things, but these are things that will help you keep a mindset on praise. Amen? Let's go to Acts chapter 5. I've been reading Acts lately in the Bible in my own Bible study time. And as I read this, I was like, man, this is very interesting. We're going to start at verse 12. And it's titled Continuing Power in the Church. Verse 12 says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out of the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, the multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up. Somebody say, rose up. And all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of his life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. Okay. Verse 22 says, but when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Right? Then it says in verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging him on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Verse 32 says, and we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So one of these things, when we think about praise, part of praise is obeying God, right? Or part of having a mindset of worship and praise, you have to obey God. All right, verse 33 says, when they heard this, they were furious and plotted to praise with them. Is that what it says? No, it didn't say that they were trying to pray. It says they were trying to kill him. Right? Now, these are men that are being obedient to God. Okay? It says, then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody, right? Now look, check this out. This is something that we got to look at, because it's going to explain some other people that were trying to prove that God was the man, or they were the man. They were trying to show that they were the man. Thaddeus thought that he was the guy. I'm the guy, right? But when you look at what the apostles are doing, they're not giving praise to themselves, right? Because if they were giving praise to themselves, they would be like, well, I went to jail for this last time. I'm not going to do it again, right? Because this is hindering me. But their mind was not on themselves. See, this is a key to praising God. When your mind is on you, your praise is not where it needs to be. Okay? That doesn't mean we don't think about ourselves. That doesn't mean that we don't love ourselves, but you have to get past you to know how to praise God. If you're not past yourself, if you're not beside yourself, as sometimes people say, you have to pretty much be beside yourself to worship God. Why? Because sometimes for us, we are in the way of our worship. Right? We get in the way. Our cares, the concerns, they get in the way. So let's get back into the verse 36. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered, and it came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. Verse 38, and now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. Right? For if this plan or this is of men, it will come to nothing. So this is important. I like how this man, and I think that God actually used him in this time. Because you got to think about it. They were already ready to kill these disciples. And this was the early stages of the church. They're ready to do it again. Man, we can't take it. You heard them talking about, you guys are the ones that kill. We're going to do something about it. We're going to kill them. But God used this man, Galileo, to say something that spared their lives. He says, and now I say to you to keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. Whew. Man, that's some deep words when you think about it. Right? And maybe at this moment, Gamaliel believed that Jesus was God. Because you got to think about it. Some of the Pharisees and Sadducees, I'm pretty sure they had to be like, okay, he rose from the dead. We killed him. He didn't do anything wrong. We just couldn't stand him. You know what I'm saying? Blah, 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 this, blah, blah. Man, I can't wrap my mind around who he is, but there's something about him. I'm pretty sure some of them believe. You got the one that came to him at night, right? Nicodemus, Nick at night, he came, right? Came to figure out, there was something about Jesus. He was curious, but I'm pretty sure there were some Pharisees and Sadducees who believed what they believed. But their positions, now this is something right here, I even plan for this. Their positions didn't allow them to live a lifestyle of praise and worship. They still had to act and do what everybody else would do. And this is why you cannot allow anything to hinder your praise. Your job should not hinder your praise. Your position, your status, your career should not stop your praise. If it does, guess what? That's not where you need to be at. Amen. Verse 40 says, and they agreed with him. And when they called the apostles and beaten them, now I don't know why they beat them, right? Like, he just told them, leave him alone. Don't fight God. But they had to put hands on them. Says, and beat them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Verse 41 says, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. You hear that? These are the disciples that just got beat. They leave rejoicing. So what am I telling you? You have to look for an opportunity to praise. They were waiting for an opportunity to praise. I'm pretty sure they already had a praise party because they were out of jail. Man, they broke out of jail. And they couldn't even figure out how that happened. But it says rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus' name. Amen. And it says, and daily in the temple, in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Now, let me tell you this. Your praise will fuel you to go do what God has called you to do. Amen. You think about it. They said they rejoiced. And after they rejoiced, they continued every day to do the same thing, to teach and preach in the name of Jesus, because praise was in them. Amen. They went. I'll tell you this, when you have a mind of praise, and you can even see this as believers, there's days that we know that, man, I got to praise God. And when you praise God, you feel a certain way. You're excited. You don't want to stop. And when that happens, you're more willing to do things for God. Right? So what I'm trying to tell you is your mind, when you look for an opportunity to praise, God will take that opportunity that you use to praise him to do work for him. In some way, form, or fashion. Watch. Amen. Praise will allow God to be near you. Not only will praise allow God to be near you, it moves God. When we look at Solomon, one of the things that were good about Solomon, right, is that before he even started to become the king, he knew how to praise God. And that's something that he learned from his dad, David. David is one of the guys that we see go through ups and downs. David, you're anointed king. Praise the Lord. You look in 1 Samuel chapter 16, he's anointed king. 1 Samuel chapter 17, he kills Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 18, the king Saul is after him. First Samuel, you know, after that, King Saul is trying to kill him again. After that, like, he went through so much, but it did not stop the praise that David had to give to God. And a lot of the Psalms that we see, sometimes David looks like he's complaining in the beginning of them, but then he says, but I need to get my eyes focused on who has me here and why I'm here. And so it's important to continually keep praising your mouth, because when you keep praising your mouth, God is near. Amen. I was sharing that with a brother today. He was just sharing. He had a similar testimony about some things that he was going through. So I prayed with him. And then while I was praying, God told me to tell him, when you feel down, when you feel, stressed out, begin to praise. Right. And I told him, I said, man, listen, when you worship God and when you're praising God, you're not thinking about that bill that you need to pay. You're not thinking about your kids. And this is parents, if you got kids, learn how to praise in front of your kids so that they can do it and stop distracting you. Right? Sometimes we let our kids be a distraction and they keep us from going and entering into God's presence. We can't let that be. Amen. So when you praise, it allows God to draw near. And when God is near you, you don't have to fear anything. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 through 47. This is going to be the last thing I read. It says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. My question to you is your mind set on praise? You know, I want you guys to think about, as you go through this week, as you go through the rest of this year, I want you to begin to make sure you have a pattern of setting your mind on praise. Don't set your mind on fire. Set it on praise. Amen. If this was good, if this helped you today, just go ahead and lift your hand up. I just want to encourage you guys. The reason why we ask that is because when you are encouraged, it encourages us. But also it allows us to know that what we are doing is effective. Amen. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, if you need prayer, you want us to call, be with you or share something with you, give us a call. We have the information following. Amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.